life,
dignity,
security,
freedom,
respect,
justice,
equality,
equality,
remedy, and protection,
fairness,
fair time,
citizenship,
right,
world,
peace,
losers,
men.
It's my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
leisure,
health,
education,
culture,
human rights,
Charter Dana,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings. With me today is my co-host, Tatenda Chukwukwa.
Hello.
And our special guests, Dr. Janie Kong and Rebecca. Now, I'm going to have trouble with that because I haven't been coached. Can you help me?
Otitoju.
I'm glad I got the coaching. Otitoju. To talk about the young female students who have been kidnapped by Boko Haram in Nigeria. It's almost an unbelievable thing that's happened there. And the drama continues, you know.
Right.
I have an interview that I'm going to get set up here, but while we're doing that, I'm not quite ready. Okay. I'm just wondering if you could give us some quick thoughts about the situation there, and then I've got an interview that CBC did earlier this week with Jackie Hansen, who is an Amnesty official who works out of Ottawa. So if you could give us your thoughts, perhaps, Jessica, you could give it a shot there first.
Okay, with everything that has been happening concerning the girls, with the rally we had yesterday and all the rallies going on around the world, we are hoping that these girls will come home very soon, and we are hoping that the government of Nigeria will not relent in their effort, even with all the help that they have been receiving from all other countries around the world. So we are hoping that the search will continue and the girls will come home soon.
Well, my hope is the same too. And I'm also hoping that people will not rest, that the pressure will keep on being applied, both to the governments in Canada to continue helping, the governments in the U.S. and all the good people of the world who are helping, that the pressure will not let up, that the pressure will continue until every single one of those girls is brought home.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And you're from Nigeria. Were you surprised at all by the Good Luck Jonathan government that they didn't do anything sooner?
I was surprised and a little bit of a shock. If we say surprised, I think it's the right word. But surprised in the sense that the magnitude of the crime that this group has committed, it's uncomparable. You can't compare with what they have done now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a shock that they would take so many children in captive and the government would take that long to even come out
mm-hmm.
and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when it was even a doubt that how do we know these girls were kidnapped?
Mm-hmm.
So all these things going on the media did not actually make the government look good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I would say surprised or
mm-hmm.
probably that's the way the government would react to anything. But this one is actually mm-hmm. totally different. They've been doing terrible things, but I think this seemed to be the climax.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope this is the end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got that interview queued up here now with Jackie Hansen. So we'll play that. And that'll give us some more to talk about. So we'll just get this going here now, and we'll be right back after after we hear the interview. And this, like I say, was done on CBC Radio a few days ago.
As we've been hearing in the news this afternoon, the militant Islamic group Boko Haram has released a new video that shows about half of the schoolgirls taken hostage last month in Nigeria. The group's leader has offered to trade the girls for imprisoned militants, a deal the Nigerian government has rejected. Jackie Hansen is a women's rights campaigner with Amnesty International Canada. Hello, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Doug.
What's your reaction to this video?
Well, I have to admit my feelings were mixed. On the one hand, I was very happy to see 130 of the girls all together in one place. So we've had concerns that the girls had been split up. So that was good news, and it was also good to see kind of proof of life, which hopefully the families will soon be able to verify. We'd hoped that the video we would see would be the girls being reunited with their family.
Right.
So obviously we're upset that they're still being detained. And it's also concerning to us that not all the girls were together in the video. So there's some questions remaining about where are the other 100-plus girls.
Has Boko Haram done this kind of thing before?
This is certainly not the first time that Boko Haram has staged an abduction. Other people have been abducted, including schoolgirls. They just had never done anything on this scale. So they really upped the ante in terms of the scale of their attacks with this.
So what kind of activity has Boko Haram been involved with in the past then?
Well, what has been going on in northeastern Nigeria, it's only through this very, very unfortunate abduction of the schoolgirls that the world is getting to know about it. Boko Haram's been around for about a decade. They really upped their attacks in 2009, 2010. This violence is at the scale where 2,000 people have been killed in this conflict in northeastern Nigeria in just this year alone, so in the past few months. So it's to the scale where the international community is now saying this is enough to legally be considered a non-international armed conflict. So there's been other abductions. There was an attack in March on a prison where a number of Boko Haram detainees were freed that then resulted in a subsequent battle with officials where over 600 people, including many of the former detainees, were killed.
So what do we know about the prisoners that Boko Haram is asking to be released? Who are they?
We don't really know much. And really what we're interested in as Amnesty is we're really interested in ensuring that the girls are brought home. But we want to make sure that they are brought home using methods that protect their human rights. So if this makes any sense, we want to make sure that the girls' rights are being protected and that they're brought home using methods that uphold human rights.
Hmm. And what does that mean exactly? What would you like to see happen here?
Well, we really want to see the Nigerian authorities work in collaboration with the international community, and we want to make sure that the girls are brought home, but we want to make sure that there aren't human rights violations occurring while that happens. So we want to make sure that international law is followed to the letter.
And the Nigerian government has rejected the group's proposed deal. What do you think of that stance?
Well, we just want the girls brought back. I mean, that really is our concern. We're concerned that the Nigerian government took a very long time to react to this. We're concerned that they knew about this attack 4 hours in advance and they failed to act. We want to make sure that the perpetrators are held to justice. We want to make sure that there's prevention plans in place to make sure that this doesn't happen again. So those are our primary concerns.
And what do you think of the West's response to this situation?
I think that the international community needs to respond. I think that it's encouraging to hear that this is something that people around the world are talking about. And I think largely it's through the Twitter campaign, it's through activists, it's through civil society that we've raised awareness to the point where leaders can't do anything but act. So I think that is all very good. Certainly we would have liked to seen action earlier to make sure that something like this could have been prevented, but we hope that further action will help to make sure that the girls are brought home safely. This is something that really, it draws out something that we see all too often, which is that girls are often the spoils of war.
Mm.
We see, you know, we know there's sexual violence in so many conflicts, but it's often something that's not talked about. And now with over 200 girls abducted all at once with fears about their whereabouts, fears about their treatment, talking about possible instances of sexual violence, it's making something that people don't tend to talk about or that isn't always visible, very visible.
Jackie, what's the answer to this? Because it seems that, as you mentioned, girls have been used as the spoils of war. This has not been going on for just years. This has been going on for centuries now.
Part of it is making it visible. Part of it is talking about it, about naming it, making sure that laws are in place that are going to protect women and girls so that in conflict situations this doesn't happen. We know that in countries where there's high rates of violence against women, there's more likely to be armed conflict. We know when there's impunity, when people can get away with committing acts of violence against women and girls, they're more likely to commit acts of violence against women and girls. So that's really a message for the government of Nigeria. This isn't just something that it tells us about Boko Haram. It's about Nigerian society. Why was it okay to abduct 240 schoolgirls? Why did it take so long for that message to get out? Why did the officials know 4 hours beforehand of the attack but fail to act and even warn the school that this could be, that there was an impending attack? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and it speaks not only to the actions of Boko Haram, but where women and girls are placed in society in that part of Nigeria.
Which countries, if any, have done a good job of trying to reverse what is clearly a disturbing trend?
Well, I think there's something, I think it's good. I think that, you know, we're trying to prevent sexual violence and conflict. We're trying to make sure that it is prosecuted. We know that there's going to be a big global summit next month in London, spearheaded by the government of the UK, which is addressing this very issue of sexual violence and conflict. And so there are a number of countries that are standing up and they're recognizing this. And, you know, it was only just over a decade ago that rape was seen, was finally determined to be a method of torture. So slowly, we're getting there. We're making this crisis visible. We're talking about it. Now we really need to make sure that states take this on board and make sure that they're doing all that they can to both prevent it and to prosecute it and make sure that survivors are provided with the reparations and assistance that they need to get on with their lives and be reintegrated into their communities.
Jackie, thanks for this.
Thank you.
Jackie Hansen is a women's rights campaigner at Amnesty International Canada.
And, of course, Tenda and I talked to Jackie right on our program here.
Yes.
A while ago now.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
Yeah. And was she at Moose Jaw for our...
Yes, she was. Yeah. And she came here with Crystal Giesbert.
Right.
And, yeah.
So she's very well-spoken and really understands what's going on. You can tell by listening to her in that interview. Mm-hmm. And she brought up some interesting issues there. And I think one of the things, before we really zero in on Nigeria, this is something that it's not just a Nigerian problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I would venture to say that it's kind of a worldwide thing, and you can find this kind of misogyny mm-hmm. anywhere,
sure.
even here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I hate to say it. It's not as obvious, but mm-hmm. you don't have to look. When you, I mean, we've got our Stolen Sisters campaign, where mm-hmm. Indigenous yes. women, yes. you know, are far more risk of disappearing or being murdered, mm-hmm. and so you know we have our own problems. This is particularly it's almost unbelievable.
It's very disturbing because I mean you have anytime you have ethnic women in trouble or in danger or under threat, it takes the international community ages and ages and a lot of social and internet coercion just to pay attention to it and then to eventually do something.
Yeah, they're still struggling with what happened in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. You know, when you had the genocide that happened there, mm-hmm. and really there still hasn't been, I think, enough movement mm-hmm. to prevent
the reaction
that.
Time yeah. hasn't yes. gotten better.
Yeah.
For anything.
And I think this is particularly heinous because these are young girls and their only crime is wanting to have an education. And what is wrong with that?
There's a very strange mindset there.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yes.
That's for sure.
That is what, to me, that is what makes it particularly heinous. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. to come and take over 300 and something girls and burn down the school, I still have problems getting my head around it.
Yeah.
Even though I am from Nigeria, mm-hmm. We have never experienced something of that level. Yeah. Granted, I am not from that area. I'm mm-hmm. from the south.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we've never experienced something of that magnitude.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the oil wealth that happens in the south of Nigeria has caused more problems than it's solved? I mean, the government just doesn't seem to be willing or able to do anything. And there's all this money, and as so often happens, there's a few people that get all the money, and then the rest of us don't. And I'm just thinking that, you know, there's corruption happening, and once again, that happens everywhere.
They want to stay in power so that they can yeah. get the money, and if they're shown as to not being active against Boko Haram, mm-hmm. then people are saying this government does nothing for us. So by denying that these 200 girls went missing, it's like it's not the government's fault because it didn't really happen. They're trying to say, they were trying to like put a campaign of like, that's a lie, it didn't really happen, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And now that the world has said, yes, it did happen, and yes, 200 girls are missing, and you haven't been doing anything about it, it sheds a bad light on the government.
Yeah, and yeah. the... It was mentioned that Boko Haram has been around for about a decade. And hasn't that been sort of fueled by the poor government that's happened, the people? And, of course, you're further. I'm not sure of the geography there, but they're probably further from the capital there in the northeast part of Nigeria.
Yeah, Lagos? They're closer now. No, the capital is now Abuja.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. It's in the middle.
Yes.
The capital now is in the middle.
Yes.
So, I don't think that proximity is the problem. I think that the issue is really a sense of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. It's not on their radar kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think if they felt that the protection of those girls was their responsibility, they would have acted.
Mm-hmm. Or even the protection of the citizens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because Boko Haram has started on a smaller scale mm-hmm. before this time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And nobody was doing anything.
Well, for 10 years.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. they've just gotten stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And become bolder and bolder in what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I actually think that it's a good thing that it's not a good thing that these girls were abducted, but that they have abducted, they were abducted, have put... shone the light mm-hmm. on Boko Haram
right.
and the way the government of Nigeria deals right. with issues mm-hmm. of human rights.
Well, as Jackie pointed out in the interview, there were quite a number of people killed just this year by Boko Haram.
Mm-hmm.
And we never heard about that here. You know, it didn't make the news here.
Mm-hmm.
But now finally, like I say, now it's made the news. Now mm-hmm. the international spotlight is, mm-hmm. is shining there.
Mm-hmm.
So... hopefully something reasonable will happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think also that the world has now come to recognize it as a terrorist group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I think that recognition is important.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the international community will do something that would clip their wings mm-hmm. and prevent them from acting with impunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you shed some light on like the religious conflict that is happening in Nigeria?
When we talk about religious conflict, it's something that it's been on and off, but mm-hmm. we really can't say, okay, we have a religious war going on.
Okay.
We know that, like when Boko Haram started on a larger scale in 2009, they started in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Catholic church that they went into and bombed on a Christmas day. And that was the beginning of this new trend that we now see. So, right from a long time, the religious conflict has been that most of the time the Muslims or the Northerners believe that they should be in government.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us actually also feel that with what Boko Haram is doing right now, it has been because we do not have a Muslim in the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to destabilize because, according to them, they want to make Nigeria become a Muslim country, which I cannot see that happen. It mm-hmm. can never happen because of the fact that Christianity is not just like 1% mm-hmm. in the country. It's almost split equal.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go to the south, it's more of, when you're out of the north, it's predominantly Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a larger group when it comes to Christianity and also Islam
mm-hmm.
In the country. So, but one thing I've always want to be careful about, because mm-hmm. most of the time Boko Haram or all these terrorists, even when we were talking of Osama bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
it was a parade of Islam mm-hmm. that we are working. We are doing this because of our religion, and for me personally, I think they do this to make it feel as though when you now attack that action, you are attacking another religion,
mm-hmm.
and that was why for us, even yesterday, it was key for us to mention that Boko Haram is a terrorist group, mm-hmm. it's not Islam.
Yes,
it's totally not Islam. So mm-hmm. so we really need to try and separate Boko Haram from mm-hmm. Religion.
Mm-hmm.
Here, though we know that yes, Christians have been persecuted, churches have been burned, and all that, but not even at this scale.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if it would be right to say we have a religious war going on mm-hmm. in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. 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 And if one may go a little bit back, you know, the north and the south of Nigeria had lived in relative peace for many years. The north has always been predominantly Muslim
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the south predominantly Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And we had existed that way for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the rise of extremism all over the world is what we are seeing in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Rebecca said, it's not a religious war. Christians are not fighting Muslims. Extremists are persecuting Christians. And there are many peace-loving Muslims in the north.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many advancement-loving Christians in the north who would like their kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So Boko Haram is not a representative of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It is an extremist group. And as we know, wherever extremism exists, bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I grew up in the north. I was a baby when my parents moved to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, because I was one of those kids that I'm always very close to my dad. And I hear all these stories and discussions between him and his friends. We were more of girls
mm-hmm.
as siblings at the time, and I would hear my dad's friends telling him not to educate us, not to bother,
because as girls, we will end up getting married, we'll end up not bearing his name, and so it's a waste of money and all this stuff at the time. Mm-hmm. But my dad chose to educate the girls. Mm-hmm. And we were never persecuted, even though he was like a minority when it comes to parents that chose that. For him, I remember what he told us, like the night you are leaving home to go to school, because we all went to boarding school at the time. So he will tell you, I'm giving you this option. Whatever you do with it, it's yours. Because you will not wear my outfit as a girl. So I'm giving you an inheritance by sending you to school. That was the message that my dad passed on to every one of us that were girls at the time. And my dad was never persecuted. And we lived right in the midst of the Northerners and grew up. I was friends with the girls that didn't go to school, that got married as early as they wanted. Nobody came to my parents to say, okay, why would you send girls to school? So so that's why, as she said, even in the North, not everyone has the same mindset.
Why have these extremists come to Nigeria? Why have they risen up?
As I mentioned initially, because of the fact that a few people like this group and others that might be supporting or promoting them felt that Nigeria should be a Muslim country. And there has always been this conflict, which has not been a public thing amongst leaders, because many felt that leadership should come from the North, which is very also very interesting, that one segment of the country will feel that this is our inheritance. This has been a problem that has been there as long as I knew, that when it comes to election, when it comes to anyone in government, if it is not from the North, there is a problem. There is an outcry. So, but this is not something that has gotten to the public, or the it hasn't gotten to a situation where it's out there in the public. But when we look at the percentage, or when we look at the presidents and people in government that we've had in Nigeria, they are predominantly from the North and predominantly Muslim. Because some of us are questioning if Jonathan happened to be a Muslim, are they going to do this? Even though, unfortunately, as we said, we do not want to really put the two together. But because this group, they are out campaigning that they are doing this in the name of religion. So if we had a Muslim there, would they have done what they are doing? So, which is something that is also a serious problem, because I know that the other group will not sit back and say, oh, keep ruling, because we just want peace. So, because in a democratic situation, the people should be allowed to have the freedom to choose whoever they want in government. It doesn't have to be whether you are from the North or from the South, or you you look like this or look like that. No, it should be whoever the people would want in the government. But unfortunately,
based on principle.
Sadly.
Guess what?
What?
We're done our time for the first part of the show.
Oh, wow.
We've gone past
that
hour.
That was fast.
Yeah, so we're going to do the break. And Tetenda startled me by telling me that she's never heard of Cleo Lane.
This is true.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now, mind you.
Cleo Lane.
Cleo Lane. But Cleo Lane is well, she's older than I am. So that you're excused, because she's not.
I have heard of Sade.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So anyway.
And Keb Mo.
And I'm going to play some Cleo Lane after the break. So we'll get the break going here, and then we'll be right back with some Cleo Lane, and then we'll continue our discussion.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. trouble. We never could have come this far. Oh no, baby, I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way.
Okay, and that was Cleo Lane. Like I say, she has been around for a very long time. One of my favorites. So there you go.
I will definitely listen to more.
That's your introduction.
Really good. Yeah. And as I was telling Jim, I never think of jazz vocalists. I always think of them as an instrumental group all the time.
Yeah. Anyway, on.
With Jane wanted to add something.
Okay. Go.
Well, I just wanted to also say that with the North-South struggle, it's not so straightforward. Mm-hmm. It's so complicated and twisted, because it also depends on the strength and the skill of the leader. And some leaders are able to manage the situation such that there is relative peace. However, Boko Haram does not only harass Christians. because they are against everything Western. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So even some of the people that they have been killing are Muslims.
And even these girls, there would be some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they are, their intent is to be against everything that has to do with Western education, Western privilege, Western advancement. Mm-hmm. And they are totally against that. So it doesn't matter whether the people involved are Christians or Muslims, as far as they are concerned, if they are not subscribing to their idea of Islam, they are a target. So it makes it really difficult to call it a religious conflict because Boko Haram, I don't see them as a religious group. I see them as an extremist group.
I've heard on the news that their name, Boko Haram, actually translates to being something like Western education is evil or something.
Forbidden.
Forbidden? Oh, forbidden. Okay.
So, yeah, so their code of conduct does not seem to have anything to common in common with what we will call civilized.
Well, it's like people who want to take, like the Old Testament, like take the Bible literally.
Yes.
You know, and if you look at our Bible, there are a lot of rules and laws in there that are just insane. You know, you would never think of applying them to today's today's modern living.
Exactly.
And the same thing goes for the Quran.
Yes.
And modern Muslims today would never think of adhering to the really ancient laws that are included in there that really don't apply to modern living.
Exactly. And people, I think what people should remember is that many things that are written, you always have to think of the context because it's written according to the context of what was the norm at that time.
What was life like back then?
Yeah. So, and that is what people talk about extremism. And extremism happens when people take one aspect of something and try to make that the guideline, and especially when it is a small and obscure and really harsh area that they are focused on.
I think, too, that one thing that's going on, not just there, but kind of worldwide, is this tendency to make the politics polarizing.
Yes.
And you end up with an us against them mentality instead of consensus.
Yes.
You know, and by far, I think the fairest and most peaceful way, not the easiest way, but I think the best way is consensus, where you talk with everybody. Yeah, you were saying that there are no Muslims in the Nigerian government. Well, clearly there should be.
No, there are several.
Oh, there are several.
There is a lot.
A lot, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I misunderstood there then. Well, then that makes them more and more puzzled then, like that there should be lots of dialogue and, you know, what's going on.
Yes. Yeah, and actually, Jonathan has only been in power how many years? 6 years.
About that.
Yeah, before then, it was a Muslim.
It was a Muslim that died, and then he took over for a few years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then,
so then
they saw him as a false false prophet or false leader, the Muslim leader.
Right.
That's what I read.
Okay, so he was Muslim, but he was too modern for them.
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably anybody would be too modern for Boko Haram.
Yeah. I was going to comment, you know, that just the politics today around the world just seems to be too polarized. And it's done deliberately to get power and keep power. Mm-hmm. And what happens is a lot of people are then frozen out, you know. Mm-hmm. And there clearly needs to be some change. That's for sure. What do you see as a way out in Nigeria? Do you see anything that could be done? Or do you see any hope there? Are there some leaders sort of in the wings that you think if they could somehow or other get some consensus together, could things improve, and we could get away from all this conflict that's happening. And if clearly what has to happen is the government has to have the confidence of the people, which it probably doesn't right about now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's part of what makes it possible for an extremist group like Boko Haram to do what they're doing, mm-hmm. because they have to have support of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And if the government was able to have that kind of support, you wouldn't have this problem, I think. Now, maybe I'm being too simplistic here. What do you think?
Nigerian issue. I'll just talk from my own point of view,
mm-hmm.
Like what I have said about the government and the problems we have in Nigeria. I'm not sure if we have a clear-cut solution to what is happening, to say, okay, if we do 1, 2, 3, 4, then we will have A, B, C, D happen. So for me as a person, I used to say, God will have to become Jesus again and come.
Wow.
And take over. If you would do that. Because, as you said, the people have no confidence. They have zero confidence in the government. Because mm-hmm. with everything that has happened with these girls, where the government knew ahead of time, sent in few soldiers to 50. Protect. Yes.
1-5.
Exactly. And then they were calling for help. Nobody was coming up to help.
Right.
When they saw that they couldn't face this group or challenge them or stop them. So as Jackie was saying, we have a lot of questions, because like with me, I was asking, where were the teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. usually in a boarding house, mm-hmm. there will be some teachers that live in that school with them to supervise. So you just don't leave kids to be there on their own. So where is the principal? Where are the teachers that's mm-hmm. supposed to protect these girls? We never heard that they were kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
So these mm-hmm. are questions that mm-hmm. I'm very sure nobody will get any mm-hmm. answers to.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm sounding as though there's no hope for Nigeria, but at the same time, I still believe there is hope.
There's always hope.
Yeah,
there's always hope. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because as we have said, mm-hmm. you know, in every situation, there would be a ray of hope. There would be things we would do, but we hope that it will come soon
mm-hmm.
when mm-hmm. the right person will be there
mm-hmm.
that will build that confidence, that okay. will... That will bring the people together, because mm-hmm. you touched on our key problem, where there is money. We have money.
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria should be one of the richest in Africa, if not mm-hmm. the richest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because Nigeria is one of the top 10 oil producers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the money is in the hand of few
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And the masses are suffering.
Yeah, and I also think too that this issue, this problem of the girls being kidnapped, in the long run, is probably going to be beneficial to Nigeria, because it has shone the light on some of the things that were hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, evil prospers when good people do nothing. But the world is doing something now. There is now a light being shone on how the government acts and how things are done.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that people are looking at it and thinking, okay, this is not right. I don't want to be associated with that kind of government. I don't want to be associated with that kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know. So I think that if the world keeps the light shining, that this is just a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If people do not retreat and it becomes business as usual, if the Western world, all the good people who are concerned about justice,
keep the light shining on how things are in Nigeria. That will motivate future leaders to begin to act,
mm-hmm.
because I think many of the leaders have been quite embarrassed
mm-hmm.
by yes. The way that this has turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if that scrutiny remains, that it will be something that will motivate mm-hmm. future leaders to act in the way that is more becoming of leaders.
Yeah, and now that we have, like, Canada has deployed some troops, and the U.S. Yes. has supported, and mm-hmm. France is supporting as well, as well as Israel.
Yes.
Just because that has happened now doesn't mean we should back down.
Exactly.
We should keep on going,
exactly.
you know?
Yes.
Because we don't know what they're doing when
yes.
they're there. They
yes.
might be saying, oh, we're just there offering logistical support. What
yes.
is that?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Right. We have to keep this going
yes.
until they're actually returned to yes. their parents.
Yes. We yeah. need to keep the pressure
yes.
on
yeah.
until every single one of those girls is returned to their parents. And even then, things shouldn't just cease.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get to the root of Boko Haram
mm-hmm.
and make sure that now that the world has realized that it is another terrorist group, because, you know, these groups sometimes start small
mm-hmm.
and they start in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And before we know it, if they are left unchecked, they begin to export their evil.
Mm-hmm.
And before we know it, it may arrive at our doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
We may never think that, you know, we may have a Boko Haram to deal with in Canada. But, you know,
you
the world
say.
Is a global village now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we never know. So I am hoping that after the girls are returned, that there will be a way to deal with Boko Haram. If they have grievances that they need resolved, that it can be resolved, and whatever it is, that steps can be taken
mm-hmm.
such that those of them who may have a little bit of conscience can return into being real human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking that there should be, and I think there is, a great deal of pressure on Islamic leadership to make a difference.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I think we heard the king of Saudi Arabia
mm-hmm.
actually make a statement. You don't hear from him very often,
mm-hmm.
but he did make a statement in this particular instance and basically say that this had nothing to do with Islam, and they were, I forget what the exact comments were, mm-hmm. but they were not properly grounded in scripture or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
They were certainly in error as far as the Islamic world is concerned.
Yeah.
And I think that if more Islamic leadership steps forward and calls out this kind of extremism for what it is, then things can possibly get better. But I think there's sometimes a little fear on their part because there can be so much violence.
Mm-hmm.
But do you also think that maybe their voices are being silenced in the West? Because the Western side always has the agenda of portraying Muslim people or Islam people as just all bad.
Correct.
So obviously, like a CNN or like MSNBC or whatever, they're not going to show their perspective at all.
How about Fox News?
Or Fox News as well, to the extreme. Definitely not.
Yeah.
And I think even myself, as we've been talking here, I've been the victim of that, and mm-hmm. that I've just completely said it was a religious war when it's not, in fact, a religious war.
No.
You know, and I didn't know that because I don't get the other side of it. I don't mm-hmm. get the other perspective at all.
Yeah. Even in Nigeria, 2 or 3 days ago, when they showed the girls,
mm-hmm.
yeah, one of the ministers also came out, and he was a Muslim too, and he said, you know, even watching those girls and what these men were saying, it was very disgusting, because for him, that's not the way you convert people to Islam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just don't bring them together and say, okay, start reading or start chanting, repeat what we are saying. That's not the way you change people.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree that the leaders need to come out
mm-hmm.
and talk about this and mm-hmm. call it the right name.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as she said, that fear is there, because that stereotype of, mm-hmm. okay, your name looks like a Muslim name, then you must be a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and unfortunately, that has been the way
we react to each other, even apart from religion, your skin color, because you look this way, mm-hmm. then you must behave this way. If we don't have those, maybe the leaders will feel more comfortable coming out, as she was talking, telling us that they might also be afraid to come out as mm-hmm. Muslim leaders. But mm-hmm. we hope that they will come out, because for us, this is not Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It is terrorist.
Mm-hmm. And I hope, too, that the Islamic leaders in the North, I understand that many of them are quite influential in the effect that they can have, not on groups like Boko Haram, but on the real Muslim. Because mm-hmm. if the community were to rise up against these people and said, no, you are bringing a bad reputation to Islam,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were not either keeping quiet or collaborating, this group will not proliferate.
Mm-hmm.
It will die down. So I think that even the leaders, even without the West being involved, can do a lot mm-hmm. if they choose to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Just like you got involved, and your group's name is Daughters of Africa. Can you tell us about that?
We got involved, actually, not under the umbrella of Daughters of Africa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, the two of us belong to Daughters of Africa. But when this issue started, when we started seeing what was going on through the news, so it was a group of us as Nigerian women that mm-hmm. actually started talking.
Mm-hmm.
An email went out, and she emailed back and said, I was thinking of the same thing. I was just waiting for the morning
mm-hmm.
to come for me to also mm-hmm. say something to see what we can do. Yes, we have quite a few members of Daughters of Africa that came yesterday, because definitely we have to contact them, because mm-hmm. we are all mothers, we are all women. Mm-hmm. And as we've been saying, this could happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. It could be mm-hmm. anyone in mm-hmm. that shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been very supportive too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also we paid particular attention because we did not want this issue to be regarded as an issue that belonged to a particular group. Because as far as I understand, as far as I know, it is a human rights issue.
Correct.
It's not a Nigerian issue.
It's
not an African issue. It's a human rights issue. So mm-hmm. we did not want to have it even under the umbrella of Daughters of Africa. We mm-hmm. wanted everybody to feel free
exactly.
to come to it.
Correct. And on that note, we've basically run out of time. I'd like to thank you very much, Jane and Rebecca, for coming. Mm-hmm. Tatenda, good to see you again.
You too.
And before we sign off, I just want to remind everyone about CJTR's annual Music Garage Sale. That's going to be this Saturday, June 7th from 9 to 5. And we have thousands of CDs and records to choose from at low, low prices. We have stereo equipment, DVDs, sheet music, instruments, and more here on the main... Oh, it's going to be on the main floor downstairs at 1102 8th Avenue, and we're still accepting donations. All money raised from the sale goes directly to support your nonprofit community radio station, 91.3 FM CJTR. And so we're closing this week's Human Rights Radio and CJTR Community Radio. We hope you've enjoyed listening to and learned something new about human rights for all people. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."
This is The Talent Pool on 91.3 FM, CJTR, a look at Regina's live music scene.
At McNally's Tavern Friday, catch Eggs at 11 performing live, and on Saturday, it's J.J. Voss, McNally's Tavern at 2226 Dewdney Avenue. The 5th Annual All Folked Up Music Festival in Momar coming up July 4th through 6th with lots of great acts booked so far and more to come. Grain Report, Nickel Tree, the Ben Winoski Project, and lots more. Check out allfolkedup.net for more. At Bushwhacker Brewing Company, they are closed Victoria Day. Wednesday the 21st, it's Folk Night with Edmonton roots artist Lindsay Walker. Bushwhacker Brewing Company, 2206 Dewdney Avenue. And at Casino Regina Show Lounge, May 19th and 20th, catch Charlie Pride. May 23rd, Lighthouse. Return to Casino Regina Show Lounge.
This has been The Talent Pool on 91.3 FM, CJTR. Regina Community Radio.
Private liquor stores. They're popping up everywhere. And if you think they're a better deal for you, well, let's burst a couple of those bubbles. For example, you'll pay more, up to 15% more than at public stores. you'll lose more, as profits go into private hands rather than public services. And your community is hurt as incidents involving minors and alcohol skyrocket. Help keep liquor sales in public hands at ifyoulovesaskatchewan.ca. A message from SGEU.
91.3 FM CJTR, Regina Community Radio. Our programming is made possible by community-minded businesses like the Mackenzie Art Gallery and by listeners like you.
Give me a second. I want to put the weather up on the clip thing here so I can have it handy for the show. What's that, Vern? No. I don't think we'll start with that one. No, I don't. Maybe later on in the show we can play that. Okay. So how are things back in the control room there, Vern? Everything under control? Yeah? Okay. Well, I'm ready to roll here on the big show, on the big Friday feature. You just throw on the mic and... What? The mic is on? What? You mean everything I said has been on the air? Oh. I told you last week. Is it still on? Oh, shut the mic off. Okay, Vern, I'm ready now. You can turn the mic. It's on? No. Just, well, tell me when you're going to turn the mic on. Okay. I'm. Is it on? Okay, I'll go. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, members of the royal family. Hello, Chuck. And to ships at sea, and wherever you may be, you are free to tune in to me, I, Vincent Murphy, and along with our executive producer, Vern Todd. We welcome you to 2 hours of celebratory celebration here on the Radio Magic Land. It is your FM Fantasy. Fantasy? What's that? No, I know it's not a word. I just made it up. Fantasy is like fantastic, Vern. Okay, oh, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Music has ended there? Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else out there in great radio land, whoever you are, whatever your car, wherever you go, we're set to roll on a Friday afternoon. Yes, a Friday of the May long. Come on, snap your fingers. How was that? Pretty good, Vern? I've been practicing it all week. Yeah. I'm a real finger snapper from Flin Flon. I'm a Flin Flon finger snapper. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Vincent Murphy, your host from now till 3. We're all set to roll with a big show, another big